Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're diving right back into it. Shortly here, coming up, we'll have Clark Hunt join us. So may go to break early, Nathan, so just bear with us. He's a little ahead of schedule. Like that for that kind of guy. You know, you're a busy man. You got a lot going on. Let's just go through it. Get me in, get me out, do my spots, and then we're on our way.
Right.
You know, talking to some of their PR, they obviously busier than the others sometimes. Luke said he went to bed at 1:15.
Yeah, well, that's when we were getting up.
He goes, clearly, I don't have to get up. And it's so great because they're like, you know, it's a little, well, at least we don't have to get up when you guys get up. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's these days when you're out here, it's like as soon as you hear that alarm, it's like a shot of adrenaline.
Oh, it is,
you're like,
yeah.
We're up.
Yeah.
It's shower. Let's go.
I heard it this morning, and I'm like, what is that noise that's
right.
Going off? And, you know, because I was out pretty good as soon as we got home last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of slept real well last night. But still, that alarm goes off. You're like, whoa, that's only like 4 hours of sleep. So we got to, you know, keep the train moving and kind of keep it on the track because nothing slows down. It's New Orleans, and the week is only going to get busier. And we're just going to be here and bringing it all to you. I mean, we're going to be your conduit all week long, you know, for everything that's going on in New Orleans, and
right.
Hope you guys enjoy everything that that we're bringing to the table for you. And if there's something, hey, we want to see this. We want to see Mac, you know, upside down on Bourbon Street getting pickpocketed or something. We can make that happen. I mean, there's no question. I got a guy.
We just got to get to Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, very professional.
Right.
Tonight's the media dinner.
Right.
And the get together, the rubbing the elbows, the, oh, you're from Houston, you're from L.A., you're from Vegas, you're from Kansas City, eight down. And then it's after that, it's like, the week gets a little easier. People start to get a little less tense, a little bit more relaxed. And don't forget, we are going to be here Monday through Friday, live on Radio Row in Nolens, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is geared up for that third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rip your team during this historic run.
Right.
Speaking of runs, right? Chiefs
not yet. Oh wait.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Oh. The Chiefs are going for their third straight, and this is the second straight year where the opposing team's running back outshines the opposing team's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so.
Sure.
I mean, last year, Christian McCaffrey was probably the best running back in football. He's going to go to the Super Bowl, and oh, my God, what are the Chiefs going to do to stop Christian McCaffrey?
Fumble.
Right. Same story, different year.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, Kansas City, Philadelphia. Oh, my God, what is Saquon Barkley going to do to that defense? I don't know, but I know that defense last year. Kittle, Ayuk, Debo. 85 yards total between the three of them. So in Spags we trust, in narratives we always get, and fear-mongering we get from weathermen and the insiders at the NFL that say, hey, watch out for the Saquon guy.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, there's been a ton of fear-mongering with this, and it's almost, again, I was talking to somebody last night with the organization, and we were having this conversation, and I'm like every time somebody says it's luck, it pisses me off because that means you're not giving credit to Steve Spagnuolo, Dave Tobe, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, all of these guys that are coaching on this team that are putting together these unbelievable game plans to be better than everybody else. In fact, I had one person say to me last night, they go, what are they going to say when we win again? Like, how are they going to continue to run us down if we win again? I'm like, I don't know what they're going to do, but going into these games, it's all about ways to try to run the Chiefs down. And I understand Saquon Barkley, dude, like we all know, he's the best running back in football at this point in time. But Steve Spagnuolo is also the best defensive coordinator in football at this point in time. And he's making, you know, close to $5 million a year being the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs for a reason, because he knows how to figure people out. And Steve Spagnuolo isn't somebody that's new on the scene. He's been shutting down people since 2007. Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Every time somebody has told Steve Spagnuolo that there is a challenge in front of them and they're not going to be able to get this done or not going to be able to get that done, what does Spags do? He gives you the double bird, he puts together a game plan, and he shuts you down. And I think Steve Spagnuolo is the coaching version, if you will, of Patrick Mahomes. Keep telling Steve Spagnuolo that they can't. Keep telling Steve Spagnuolo that Saquon Barkley is going to run all over them, and let's see what kind of game plan Steve Spagnuolo comes up with. Because going into this game, if you tell me I got two choices, Steve Spagnuolo or Saquon Barkley, Saquon Barkley has no track record in a big game. Saquon Barkley doesn't have a track record in the Super Bowl. Steve Spagnuolo has a track record in the Super Bowl. He's beaten Tom Brady. He's won two straight Super Bowls with the Kansas City Chiefs and three overall by shutting down the opponent. Did it last year against San Francisco. And even one step further, Dusty, this cat shut down Derrick Henry in that AFC Championship game. And so every time somebody has said, oh, they're better, this team, this team, this team, Steve Spagnuolo goes, all right, we'll take care of business and we'll bottle this guy up. And so I think when you're hearing the narrative that Saquon Barkley this and Saquon Barkley that, sounds nice, great low-hanging fruit, all that kind of stuff, and I'm going to present to you, you give me Saquon Barkley, and I'm going to raise you a Steve Spagnuolo and say, until somebody does something against Steve Spagnuolo's defense that's unbelievable, Steve Spagnuolo is still the GOAT when it comes to shutting down the opponent in the biggest games.
Yeah, it's crazy how when you doubt the man that has so much respect, and then all of a sudden people have these topics that they lean on, which is fine. Like, I'm totally cool with that. I understand, like, you got a job to do. Like, hey, Saquon Barkley's going to be a problem. I would say that, too, if I was in Philadelphia. I would say that, too, if I didn't have a season-long of watching the Chiefs or history of knowing what running backs do against the Chiefs in the playoffs when that is the focus. And look, you can have your Dallas Goedert and your 75 yards, and you can give, you know, AJ or Devontae whatever they get. You know, Devonta Smith, if he gets, you know, 6 for 80, but the score is 13-21 Chiefs at the end of the game, and Saquon Barkley had 75 yards, the story will still be Saquon Barkley. So we're going to go to break real quick because we got the owner and CEO of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, join us here on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. All right, here we go. We're right back here. You can watch all of the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Our next guest here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, live from Radio Row, owner of the Chiefs, Clark Hunt. Clark, how are you this early morning, I should say?
I'm doing great, and it's great to be on with you guys.
You know, yeah. I've been thinking about having you on since they told us you were going to be joining us. And the only thing I could think of is, you know, I'm old now, Clark. You know, you and I are kind of ancient grandpas. And the only thing I kept thinking of is, and I wanted to ask you, what would your dad be thinking right now going through all this? Because I remember covering your dad and seeing him in the elevator and how he used to wear those losses and celebrate those wins. And here we are going for a three-peat in a game that he basically invented in the city where y'all won your first one. What would your dad be thinking right now?
Yeah, he would be loving every minute of this. It's been such a special era for the Kansas City Chiefs the last 5 or 6 years, and he would have loved it. You know, a lot of people thought my dad was not very competitive because he was so humble and mild-mannered. But the truth was he was really, really competitive, ultra-competitive, and loved seeing his Chiefs be successful on the field. And he would love this. And, of course, this year, as you mentioned, we have the special tie back to Super Bowl IV because we're back in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And, of course, the team is training at Tulane University literally almost on the site where they won Super Bowl IV, which is so cool. And I've actually never been there. And so I'm looking forward later this week to going there, sort of being there, trying to remember what it was like when I was 4 years old, because I was at the game as a four-year-old. Don't remember much about it. But that's going to make it special, and I'm going to think a lot about my dad and mom this week.
Yeah, and your mom as well. I mean, she obviously recently passed away as well, but she got to experience this. I think looking back, and as I get older, you start to just get more reminiscent and say, I'm so glad mom got to be part of this, you know?
Yeah, 100%, and I'm so glad that she was able to see the Chiefs get back to the Super Bowl, first in Miami for Super Bowl 54, and then a few years later, Super Bowl 57, because she went that 50-year drought, right, between Super Bowls. And she was also a very competitive person, and she loved so much seeing us get back and win the big game.
We are joined by Clark Hunt, and all our guests are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy, drink responsibly. Clark, I want to ask you this. You know, I do a lot of social media. I follow the Chiefs. A lot of stuff going on. Your family's with you through all these runs. You talk about 4 years old, trying to remember it. Two daughters and a son, and they're getting to enjoy this run. What do you kind of tell your family that you guys are such a tight-knit group? Like, hey, here we go again. Like, hey, Dad, are we flying to New Orleans again this year, a year in advance? This is your third year in a row. This is your, what, fifth Super Bowl in 7 years? And you got a chance to be, like, the Red Dawn era. Like, there's all those names in the past. Now you and your family get to have this legacy. What's that like for you?
Well, first of all, they're spoiled.
That's good. That's good.
Just like everybody who is of their generation who's a Chiefs fan, you just think, well, we go to the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're spoiled. We're in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And we just talk for a living.
Yeah.
Right?
But, I mean, people, like, no, there's been those hard years. I mean, we were here in 2012. We know what that was like. And even all those tough losses in the playoffs with Marty and then the no punt game and, like, all of those games that we can all identify with, I think for the most part have made us, like, really embrace and enjoy this. And that's kind of been my message to everybody through this whole thing. Like, you got to enjoy this. Don't worry about things that don't matter. Just enjoy the results of what we're watching right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I want to come back to my family because it is so special getting to celebrate this and enjoy it with my wife, our three kids, my two brothers and sister. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it special.
Yeah.
Is getting to celebrate together. And I've thought about that each year, and I've got a lot of friends who also come to the game, and it's so special to get to be at the games with them and with family. And you know, certainly we don't take this for granted because we know how tough it is to get to the big game. And, you know, this type of run doesn't go on forever.
Yeah, you mentioned the family aspect of things, and you're one of the few, like, sole family ownerships now anymore in the NFL, right? Even, like, the Giants, they've pieced off. The Steelers, you guys, there's a couple others, obviously Chicago and whatnot. But what does that mean to you to be one of those true, like, dye-in-the-wool NFL families that really still runs a football team?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the things that makes the NFL special is that you have these families who've owned teams across multiple generations.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs have now been around for 65 years. And, you know, we're into the second generation. Hopefully one day it'll be the third generation. But the business is very special because of that. You know, you look at the Rooney family who's been around, you know, for a long time, the McCaskey family, all the way back to the beginning of the NFL. That's a very special aspect, the history of the league and getting to, you know, getting to be around those people who understood what it was like founding the league back in the, you know, what, 1912 or something like that.
Yeah.
I have always wondered, and I'm sure you've told this story 100 times. If you have, I'm sorry. But Andy Reid comes to Kansas City a while back, you know, a few years back. You have a conversation with him. He never leaves. He stays here, and now we have this. Can you give me a little bit of what that was like, that conversation that had him not going anywhere else and staying in Kansas City and creating this franchise that now he has blossomed into such a great organization?
Yeah, well, back at the end of the 2012 season, which had been a very tough one on the field for us, I made the decision that we needed to change the leadership and also change the reporting structure of the team. Historically, my dad had hired the general manager, who then had hired the head coach, and I wanted to change it so that I had direct relationship with the head coach and that the head coach would answer to me. So I made that decision going into the search process, and one of the first coaches that we interviewed was Andy. You know, we found out on what's called Black Monday that he'd been let go by the Philadelphia Eagles, and we had his interview scheduled on Wednesday. It was actually at an FBO at an airport in Philadelphia, and it was supposed to last 4 hours, but we got in there, and there was just such great chemistry. All of a sudden, we'd spent 9 hours together. Just, you know, talking about football, talking about life, and it was clear to both of us that it was going to be a really good fit. And at the end of that meeting, I learned that he had a plane sitting outside that he was supposed to get on at the end of our four-hour interview and fly to the West Coast for two more interviews, and he never got on that plane. And instead, he committed to come to Kansas City on Friday with his wife. He wanted his wife, Tammy, to see Kansas City, and he wanted to see our facilities. And so the two of them come in on Friday. We do the tour. I had a contract ready, and by the end of the day, we had a signature on it.
That's great. Awesome. Everybody remembers the helicopters flying over, and you guys, like, it was the most surreal thing at that point in time. Wow, Andy Reid's coming to Kansas City. That's cool. Oh, my gosh. Andy Reid has just become the greatest head coach in NFL history right before our eyes. How do you feel about hearing that, right?
Yeah. Well, so special. And he was already such an accomplished head coach. He took Philadelphia to 4 NFC championship games, went to a Super Bowl, unfortunately didn't win it. But when he came to Kansas City, the knock on him was he's one of the greatest coaches ever, but he's not won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And now, you know, look at where we are now. Three in the bag and, you know, hopefully another one coming. We just passed he just passed 300 career wins
right.
A couple of weeks ago, right? Very small club of owner of head coaches who have accomplished that, only 4 total. So, as you point out, he's well on his way to becoming one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach ever in the history of the game.
And that leads me to the quarterback. If he three-peats, can we call him the greatest of all time? Because I think you can. When you accomplish something nobody else has done, I think you have to have that title.
Well, he's certainly already in that conversation. I think we'll have to wait until we get to the tail end of his career to make that judgment. Clearly, there have been some great quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Most recently, Tom Brady in New England, you know, being right at the top of that list. But he's definitely in the conversation. Patrick's definitely in the conversation for the greatest of all time. But I hope he has a lot more Super Bowl victories ahead of him that'll help solidify.
Yeah.
Two things. You seem like a really good negotiator. My landlord wants to raise my rent. I was wondering if maybe you could fly with me to Lee Summit and talk to him to make sure he doesn't, since you got Andy Reid here for the rest of his time. Also, on a serious note, what is your sort of preparation for a Super Bowl game? I'm sure your game day, every day game day is different. Maybe it's not, but this is New Orleans. This is the Super Bowl. This is a three-peat. What does the Hunt family do before a big game like this?
So we'll do a chapel service on Sunday morning. Our team chaplain will come on over to our hotel, and we'll do a family service, something that we love doing. And by the way, we have the greatest team chaplain, Marcellus Casey, who does such a great job of mentoring our team. And then we'll head over to the stadium. We'll go to the NFL tailgate party. And then there's a huge Chiefs tailgate party at the stadium where we'll go and get to see a lot of the employees, a lot of friends, a lot of extended family. So we'll do that before. And then we want to be in the stadium about an hour and a half before the game, have time to go down on the field and just soak that environment in, because it is so, so special to be on the field ahead of a Super Bowl. Then I'll pass through the locker room on the way up to the suite, and then we'll brace for 4 hours of fun.
Yeah, it will be 4 hours of fun.
The rest is just in the Lord's hands, right?
Yeah, the rest is like, okay, what's going to happen? Right. How's Patrick going to pull this one out this week, right?
You're going to wear a hat like this if they win?
You like the hat, don't you?
I'm not superstitious, but I will wear it if we get a victory.
Okay, I love it. Fantastic.
I know you'll never see that hat again.
I'll never see that hat again, right? It's going to be lost. All right, I'm going to rapid fire a couple at you. I know you hate these questions, but I got to ask them anyway because that's my job. Travis coming back for another year?
I certainly think so. I think he's enjoying playing the game. He's clearly, you know, one of the greatest tight ends of all time at this point. But I think he loves what he's doing.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Florio was just over here. Andy's coming back, right?
Absolutely. Right absolutely. And I'm glad there have been none of those rumors this year. I think Andy's getting younger now. You know, he's really enjoying what he's doing as well. I think, you know, Patrick has rejuvenated him, and I think he's going to be here for a long time.
Very good. All right, let's talk a little stadium, if you will. And obviously it's on the top of everybody's mind. I know you guys are doing the stuff behind the scenes. What can you share about where you guys are in the stadium process?
So we've been having very good conversations this fall with leaders on both sides of the state line. We think we have some great options. We'll move to pushing those options forward here in the spring. Ideally, we would like to have some clarity on the direction we're heading, you know, by the end of the spring. So that's our goal.
What do you want in a stadium? Because I know how much Arrowhead means to you and the family and your dad and all that kind of stuff. But I also know you see L.A., you see Las Vegas, you see all these new beautiful stadiums. What do you want? What's your goal?
Well, I think, you know, we have two really good options. One would be the construction of a new stadium, which might be a dome facility, which would give Kansas City the ability to host big events like the Super Bowl.
Right.
And the other one would be a major renovation of Arrowhead. I mean, Arrowhead is still an incredible stadium, even though it's 50-plus years old. And it's a place that our fans have so many, you know, great memories and love coming to. So whichever path we end up going, it's going to be a great outcome for our fan base, for the club, and for the community.
Clark, last one. You might have the best moment of the season coming up here in a couple of days, but what's been your favorite moment of the season so far with this team this year?
I wouldn't say it was any single moment, but it was the many close games that we figured out how to win, right? And it wasn't always the offense and Patrick doing it. It was a complete team effort. We had a lot of games where the defense figured out how to seal the game. Other games where the special teams came through big with a blocked field goal and we won the game. And then, of course, Patrick had some special finishes as well. That's what I think we'll all remember about this season. You know, when we look back, I think each one of these Super Bowl journeys has its own story, and that'll be the story of the 2024 Chiefs.
Do you smile when you hear people say, "I'm sick of the Chiefs"?
No. I don't smile, but I do understand the sentiment, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't.
Well, hey, we appreciate the time. Take care. Enjoy this run. We'll do the same. Clark Hunt, enjoy the rest of the Super Bowl here on Super Bowl 59 in Louisiana.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Clark. Appreciate it.
That is Clark Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. All our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. You heard it. They win. Your hat's gone.
That's
I
right.
I think you're okay giving the hat to the owner.
I think I am, too, right? Like, I think Clark showed up, and the first thing he said to me is, "Nice hat, man. I really like the hat." I'm like, "Hey, I got the hat. My friend Paul got these a couple of years ago." Oh, he goes, "We're going to be wearing these hats." I said, "Let's go, baby." So if they win, it was like the blue sport coat during the World Series, you know, in 2014 and 15, I had that blue sport coat that
is
I was wearing
retired?
Everywhere. The blue sport coat is. It was on display at FanFest, and after it went on display at FanFest, I was like, we're done with the blue sport coat. And so maybe this hat takes over as the blue sport coat that everybody's going to be wanting to wear because now the owner wants the hat, right?
Yes, no, to be continued. You brought the red blazer.
I did not bring the red blazer. No, no, I did not because it's New Orleans. It's hot. I didn't find myself needing a blazer down here, you know. I didn't bring the red blazer, but I did bring the New Orleans-style cap. I think the biggest news to take away, obviously, Travis Kelce's coming back.
Yep.
I mean, and that's
the owner. So.
That's the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs telling us that Travis Kelce will be back for one more swan song, if you will. And the other one, obviously, the Andy Reid rumors. You know, we're looking at a lot of the media right now that wanted that Andy Reid rumor to be true. Mike's right here. And Andy Reid's going to be coming back for a very long time, too. It was great to hear that from Clark Hunt. Like, not like one more run for Andy Reid. Like, this is an extended period of time. And, you know, I could say the same thing about you. Like, you're like my Patrick Mahomes. I know how I've been rejuvenated. And I'm being
That's
serious.
High praise,
like, no,
Bob.
I mean, like I get what, like, Andy got to a point where he's winning. All right, I'm in my – oh, look at this guy coming in and doing something. I'm staying for
so
a
So what you're saying is clean
time.
Was Alex Smith.
That's right. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, you know what? To be fair, though, that's high praise of you to say – to put me in that category. But – I wouldn't know things or be able to do things if I didn't have Kling tell me.
Absolutely,
like Kling,
yeah.
You can't teach that. But what I can teach is how to work with Bob or how to know when things are supposed to be and how to get yours when it comes to, you know, sales or ads or whatever. Here's the nits and bits that you need to know that I can teach you, but what you do else, I can't teach you, so just go do it.
Yeah, so if you want to compare Kling to Alex Smith, great. But I'm comparing myself to Andy Reid, being the old guy and having, like, this new – young guy come in and seeing the way that, you know, things are going. I love working with Andy Reid now, or Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to go anywhere right now. And, you know, Alex Smith was fantastic. I mean, you have to go back to that guy, too. And I think he's going to be, as the seasons move on, an even bigger footnote. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if one day Alex Smith is, you know, up there in the Ring of Honor for the Kansas City Chiefs with
saw
the way
Willie
that,
Rose name last night in the Ring of Honor. That's cool.
Yeah,
I always love seeing the 2001. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, right. like Willie up there and is really, really cool. Yeah. They didn't have many people in the Ring of Honor here in New Orleans.
Yeah, because
you know?
I mean, obviously the next one will probably be Breeze.
Yeah, I would think. Like, right. How could he not be up there already? Right.
Well, I don't know if it's been 5 years. I think they probably. Have the same
is that? I don't know.
That's gotta be like a unanimous like.
I mean, hell, Tomba's in. He hasn't been gone five. I guess he has. Yeah, my God.
Yeah, he's been gone before COVID, which was 19, 20.
That's right. You're right.
25.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Where the hell's the time going, right? Like, I saw Dante Hall. I'm like, he played. Yeah. Oh, no. He's been gone like 20 years now.
I mean, think about how long ago Tyrann Mathieu was here.
I know.
Like, even that name. I mean, he's still. And he might go in their Ring of Honor. I don't know. I mean, I doubt it, but I mean.
I mean, we can't put everybody, you know, like, I mean, there's so many guys from this era that you're like, they belong in the Ring of Honor.
Is
Andy
Rofe
Reed.
In the Kansas City one?
No.
I was going to say, that'd be crazy if he's in two different ones.
I don't know if Willie Rofe is in the Chiefs, but I can't remember. The text line will absolutely 100% know who's in the Ring of Honor. But, I mean, there are so many people from this era of Chiefs football that could be in the Ring of Honor. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Alex Smith. It's Andy Reid. It's Brett Veach. It's Harrison Butker. It's Dustin Colquitt. It's Chris Jones. It's Travis Kelce. It's, you know, I would imagine – maybe Creed Humphrey is trending in that direction if he becomes an all-time Kansas City Chief type of player. Like, there are so many people over the years now in this era where you have to look at and give credit to and say, so-and-so is a Ring of Honor type guy. And obviously Andy Reid and Clark will be in the Ring of Honor at some point as well. I'm sure that's something that, you know, his kids will do for him eventually when they take control of the franchise in about 40 or 50 years. And so there's a lot, you know, from this organization that is considered some of the all-time greats of the Kansas City Chiefs. And so it's good always to catch up with the chairman of the board and Clark Hunt and kind of get his take. But again, like I said, I think the big news is obviously what we're looking at is Travis Kelce back for another year here in Kansas City. And I'll call that breaking news. I mean, we haven't heard the owner talk about that, you know, where he says Travis is going to come back for one more year or two more years or whatever the case may be. So that's the great stuff. And I'll be honest with you, Dusty. I mean, this team wins on Sunday, and they've got three in a row. They're not coming back to have a picnic and to go 5-12. They're going to be coming back for a fourth straight championship here in Kansas City, and that'll be a lot of fun to be alongside of as well.
According to 816, Willie is in the Chiefs Ring of Honor.
He is.
So he's in two different Ring of Honors.
That's wild.
That's how good of a player you are.
I mean, Willie Rofe was, I mean, the best of
all time. According to Wikipedia.
Well, that's usually 97% of the time correct, I would imagine, right? I mean, so I don't think we can sit here and say, oh, Wikipedia's not right. Fans know more than we do. Like, people scour that kind of stuff, and they, you know, I can see other names up there. The Willie Rofe one, maybe it's above where I sit or something like that. I don't see it all the time, but I feel like I would have remembered Willie, but I'm sure he was in there, and I'm sure he is in there because he was. I mean, find me a better left tackle in Chiefs history than what Willie Rofe was. My God. Find me a better athlete than Willie Rofe, a more impressive athlete than Willie Rofe. A guy who could barely walk would go out there and just maul the hell out of people. And if Jared Allen's ever walking around here, I'm going to sit him down and talk about how he used to get his ass kicked every day by Willie Rofe, man. It was unbelievable.
Sure,
and Jared Allen was an unbelievable football player.
Right. Interesting to hear that from the owner. If you miss it, you go back and download the app. Check out the show. Clark Hunt just joined us here on 96.5 The Fan, live in New Orleans, live on Radio Row. Damn glad to have you as we keep going through this day. This is only Tuesday. Obviously, we'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yep.
Friday, the big show. Saw Mitch Holtish yesterday. Kind of scared him. He was eating dinner, and I just kind of went up to him and flexed with my arm. He goes, "Be careful, Dusty, be careful." And I was like, okay, is it stay focused, be careful? It's both.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, Mitch, thank you very
much. Yeah, it's like
that
beer commercial, right? Like Mitch is ready to rock and
roll.
It's both. No. Yeah. Okay, Dusty, stay focused, be careful. Mitch got an entourage, too. Does anybody have more of an entourage than Mitch?
Yeah, he does.
I'm going to tell you, he's a big deal.
They say they're a film team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's like a SWAT team slash guys that do really good film and stuff on the franchise. So it's really great to see that. It's been great here in New Orleans, live on Radio Row tonight in the big media party. We'll hopefully see some people, maybe, you know, bug some people with some interviews. Nathan, I don't know if we have it. Do you have the Nico Remigio audio from last night?
We do.
All right. Do you want to go ahead and play that for the people? We met up with a fan of the show. By the way, I went up to him and said, Nico, been on the show, Dusty Leggins, 96.5 The Fan. You were out getting your interviews and stuff and videos. And he, I mean, it was like somebody that finally saw, like,
somebody they've been talking to.
He was
yeah, dude.
So, Nathan, go ahead and play that. It was me and Nico Remigio last night live at the opening night ceremonies.
All right, we're here with Nico Remigio here and the Caesars Superdome. How's it feel, brother?
Man, this feeling is amazing. It's really indescribable, and you know, just to be here is such a blessing, man. Such a blessing.
When you soak all this in, obviously you'll never forget it. What's one thing that you'll never forget already being here?
Man, just the group of guys that I'm playing with. You know, obviously, you know, to be on this team in this time period with the coaching staff and you know, the great group of vets that we have. It's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it's a lot to take in.
So you were on Up at Adams with Kay Adams, and you were giving some advice from Travis Kelce about, hey, maybe walk us through that again, like what happened on that day.
Yeah, so, you know, I had went out there for that first punt return, and, man, I was just trying to get into the groove, you know, my first time playing in the AFC Championship, and, you know, I went out there, and I was just trying to get solidified. So I went and fair caught that first punt, and, you know, I ran to the sideline and I saw Trav shaking his head, and he was like, bro, I thought you were trying to be great. And, you know, I went and took that and walked away, and I was like, nah, he's right. He's right. And so, you know, I knew that next opportunity that I had that, you know, I was going to take that punt regardless and try and make something happen. And, you know, I went, saw the ball in the air, took a peek and saw where the defenders were and saw that I had a little bit of space, and then we just had to make something happen.
When you come up to this game and you think about that same opportunity, that kind of fuels the fire even more. You do the NFC Championship game, now you got opportunity, next step up, hard to believe, Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day for me, regardless if it's a Super Bowl or another regular season game, I'm going to go out there and try and score. And so really that's my mentality approaching it, is that this is just another game for me. This is just another game for us, and we got to go out there and get a win.
Since you've been on our show on 96.5 The Fan, undefeated, banner guy, Hall of Fame of the show, got to meet Kay Adams, I do. What advice do you have for me?
Man, keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
All right, keep going. All right, man, we appreciate it.
Any advice
keep
for Kay
Adams? Keep going to somebody else.
Yeah, just keep going, man. Just keep going.
Out of the line. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was great. Is he laughs?
Keep on walking.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's like, just keep going. Just keep your head down. Stay focused, Dusty. Big game coverage on 96.5. The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, it's good.
Just a great dude, man. Nico's been fantastic.
He's been awesome with us. Yeah,
I no lies. There were no lies in that interview. He's undefeated. Ever since he's been on the show, undefeated, and he loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So can't deny what isn't there.
Well, you make people feel good, want them to come back for more, and Nico Remigio is one of those guys.
An interesting question is, we have like a minute before we have to go to break. Do you think Justin Houston should be in the Ring of Honor?
No.
See, I kind of do.
Yeah.
A lot of good season sacks out of the you-know-what.
Yeah, but there's so many great players that have come after him.
That's fair.
You know, and he wasn't part of any of the winning, you know, here in Kansas City. He had that one great year, and he was a really nice player, and like he'd be good on the team in his prime now, like Justin Houston in his prime, Tomba in his prime. I mean, those guys, DJ in his prime, would all be great on this team right now. But I think because now, have we not had this run of success and not all these great players? Maybe. But, you know, I think Justin Houston, like, he's going to be one of those guys. Like, there was an old guy that played baseball back in the day. Billy Sample, it was his name, okay? And he used to do MLB. Right, you wouldn't, right? He was a minor player in Major League Baseball. But when MLB Network started, they hired him, and he wore Velcro shoes. And we went out one night with him and Jim Laerter, and we got drunk on hypnotic martinis on Martini Corner. It was one of the most bizarre nights of my life. Sun Comes Up, World End did a radio show, right? That was my younger days. And so we had the best time, but I'll always remember from this guy, Billy Sample. He played just before players started to make money, and so he was just bitter towards everybody. And not that Justin Houston is that way at all, but like Justin and Tom, but all those guys came right before that winning, and it would, I mean, I don't know. I feel like Billy was so upset that he just missed all that money, and like Justin and Tomba and Houston and DJ,
right.
Like all those guys, Jamal, like they're missing all this. They came just a couple of years short of being part of all of this, you know?
We are live broadcasting from Radio Row here in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please drink responsibly. If you had it your way, that's the question we have on the other side.
BK.
Have it your way. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Travis coming back for another year?
I certainly think so. I think he's enjoying playing the game. He's clearly, you know, one of the greatest tight ends of all time at this point. But I think he loves what he's doing.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Florio was just over here. Andy's coming back, right?
Absolutely. Right absolutely. And I'm glad there have been none of those rumors this year. I think Andy's getting younger now. You know, he's really enjoying what he's doing as well. I think, you know, Patrick has rejuvenated him, and I think he's going to be here for a long time.
So there it is. There's the owner saying Travis Kelce's going to be here and not go anywhere for a very long time, no matter what anybody else says. But now we go to the Philly side of things. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Doing well.
Joe Giglio with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Heard you yesterday, 42-7 or something like that.
Close enough. Double-digit victory for the Eagles.
All right. Give me why. Tell me why you feel that way.
All right. So I was laying out yesterday why I don't think it's crazy the Eagles win this game by margin. And I get it. Mahomes has lost, what, like 4 or 5 games in his career by 8 or more points. I understand how rare it is. I look at the Eagles right now, guys. They are, I think, the better roster from top to bottom. You guys are the better coach, better quarterback. But I noticed over the last, 5, 6 weeks, your run defense has not been as good. Saquon Barkley has had explosive runs, especially on turf. We went to L.A. in late November, ran for 255. So if Saquon gets going early and the Eagles can get up on the Chiefs, which 2 years ago, before the Jalen Hurts fumble in the second quarter, it felt like the game was kind of going that way. Obviously, it changed there. I just think there's a path for the Eagles if they play the way they did in the passing game 2 weeks ago and Saquon to really get moving offensively and kind of put the pressure on the Chiefs to score. And Kansas City this year offensively, last week was the first 30-point game? So that's not really the space that Chiefs live in with a lot of points. So I laid it out. Most of my audience told me I was crazy yesterday.
Oh, they did?
No, they don't.
Really? Even in Philly, they were getting behind you on that
one.
Well,
it was split. It was like a 50-50.
Because we saw Hugh Douglas, your co-host, who was on with us yesterday. He's like rolling his eyes, looking at Dusty, going, I don't know this guy, and things like that. So, so you probably took it from him, too, What if Saquon doesn't get going, though? Because Steve Spagnuolo has done a great job of shutting down people like Tom Brady, Christian McCaffrey, all the greats in the postseason. Like Spags takes his game to a next level. What happens if Barkley doesn't get going?
Yeah, it's a problem for the Eagles because it's funny, you know, guys, most explosive plays in the NFL come from the pass game. You know, we see it every week. The Eagles' explosive plays come from the run game. It's amazing this year how many, 25, 30 plus 50, 60-yard run Saquon has had. The last time I saw this was probably Adrian Peterson, you know, back in his heyday. Maybe LaDainian Tomlinson, Barry Sanders. It's one of those years. So if they don't have that, they're going to need Jalen Hurts to play really well. And, guys, this year Hurts has been up and down. I mean, his numbers look good, but watching him game to game, it feels like once every 4 or 5 weeks he has a huge game like he did in the title game. Other games, it's pretty choppy. The Eagles will struggle to score if they don't have Saquon going.
I feel like, you know, I'm a Saquon, not Saquon Barkley apologist, but a Jalen Hurts apologist almost, and a Nick Sirianni apologist. I listen in to you guys, you know, as we get closer to the Super Bowl on the Odyssey app, which is the beauty of the app. We can spy on our opponent and do all that kind of stuff, and I'm listening to you guys last week, and it just doesn't seem like people are in love with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. Why is that?
So I think the Sirianni thing is it's more of his personality than his resume. His resume is good. I mean, obviously, he's been, you know, we've been doing this two out of the last 3 years. I mean, guys, in October, he went and yelled at his own fans in the crowd. I mean, that takes a while for people to get over. So there's that aspect of it. He also doesn't call the offense or the defense. He's a CEO. So there's that whole, like, what does he do thing, even though he's not the only coach in the NFL that does that.
Right.
As far as Hurts goes, I think people like him, but the space I put him in is it reminds me of early career Russell Wilson, where he's really good and his team wins, but how much is him and how much does he have this loaded team around him, this great running game, this great defense? He gets dinged by some people because he's not the driver of the bus like, let's say, Josh Allen is in Buffalo or Patrick Mahomes is with you guys or even Lamar. And so it's tough to place him. Like, where do you put him in the hierarchy of the NFL? He's good. He's been in 2 Super Bowls. But is he a top, 7, 8, 10 quarterback? He's good, but I think it's people struggle to say how good he is.
Is there a good, like, because I was talking to them as we were geared up for this game, looking at Philly. I mean, we have Chris Jones, but you're going to have Chris Jones in the next 3 to 5 years for quite some time. Jalen Carter is a bad dude. I worry about him. I trust the interior line for the Kansas City Chiefs, but that man obviously drafted with some scrutiny, but goes to Philadelphia. Has been fantastic.
He's unbelievable.
He's just the right amount of dirty, but also the perfect amount of skill set, strength, and angry. I think that's what you needed as a defensive tackle.
I agree. When I watch him, I see shades of young Sapp, young Sue.
Like, that's what I see,
yeah,
as Sue.
Yeah, Sue. And yeah, it's funny because both of those guys had different, whether it be on the field, Sue was a little bit half dirty, half not, right? And Sapp obviously fell in the draft because of off the field stuff. He's amazing. And the leap he's taken this year, guys, last year around the time we played you, the Monday night game late November, he was the rookie of the year favorite. He really fell off in December. I'm not sure if it was rookie wall, conditioning. But this year he came back in great shape for Vic Fangio's defense. And, guys, you'll see in the Super Bowl, he doesn't come off the field. Like, defensive tackles usually rotate in and out. He'll play 90% of the snaps. So he has stamina to do it. And, guys, it's a testament to how good he is, how great he's become. But also, it's Howie Roseman. So the Eagles had the 10th pick in the draft the year after we played you guys in the Super Bowl. That's how Jalen Carter arrived, because Howie had extra first-round picks, and he traded back with the Saints and kind of pushed one into future years. He basically shorted the Saints and thought they were going backwards, and he took what was, I think, the 20th pick one year, and it became the 10th a couple years later. It's a credible job of drafting to get that kid here.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so what's the Andy Reid effect like in Philadelphia? I know we probably talked about this 2 or 3 years ago, but I keep telling people now, and this is the old man and me, Joe Giglio of WIP at our sister station in Philly.
Did he get it right?
He got it.
I got it. Nailed it. But I'm the old guy in the room, so I always look back at this kind of stuff and start to think about, there are guys now in the NFL who probably aren't remembering that Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Is that the case in Philadelphia, or is it still like, that's our guy?
No, well, so it'll never, Andy and the Eagles are intertwined. I mean, the Eagles, if you go back, and it's funny, my co-host, too, he got there right at the right before Andy did.
Right.
But the Eagles were pretty bad. I mean, like, their franchise up to 1999 was one Super Bowl appearance, a nice run of playoff teams in the 80s, but not much, and really a blah franchise. And since then, like, Andy let the put the blueprint down and left it behind. So they're linked. And, guys, the one thing that's interesting about this Super Bowl is I feel like this is their chance to get out of his shadow, because they're still in his shadow. I mean, they didn't beat him 2 years ago. The one Super Bowl they won in 2017, Doug Peterson was the coach. He came from Kansas City and Andy Reid, and he was his first quarterback in Philadelphia. They're intertwined forever. But until the Eagles could beat Reid, it's almost like dad and son, or big brother, little brother. It's not like they just can't top Reid until they beat him.
What's the one thing that fears you outside of Patrick Mahomes in this game as we wrap this up?
McDuffie. Okay. It's Spagnuolo and McDuffie. It just feels like every time there's a big moment, McDuffie's involved. And the blitz off the edge against Allen? Yeah. Jalen Hurts against the blitz has been shaky, and McDuffie in a big spot coming off the edge, yeah, that scares me.
Well, we appreciate the time. Have a good rest of your week down here. Thanks,
you got it, guys.
Joe.
Appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
Philly side perspective, 42-0 was his projection.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm joking.
In the first half, I think he said.
I'm kidding. We keep powering through. Josh Briscoe will join us coming up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty. Don't forget, we are broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light. The official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs, Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. Coming up on the other side, we dip into the 9 o'clock hour, and we get to Gerald McCoy here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.